verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also. They resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, being assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, and that we could put in there the woman of God, man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And may the Lord bless to us the reading from His Word this morning. I'm sure that as you look around in the world today, and we have opportunity today because of the day and the age that we live in to be able to switch on the television and to be able to see things going on the other side of the world and realize that we live in pretty dark days. And as a matter of fact, when Paul talked about these perilous times, as a matter of fact, really the right translation here is that in the last days, savage and dangerous times will increase. And I think that as we look at the world today, we can agree with what Paul wrote to Timothy so many years ago. Someone has said that the list here of what men are going to be like in the last days is very similar to the list that Paul gives when he speaks about the church in Rome. And as you read that passage in Romans chapter 1, you realize just what terrible days that they lived in those days. But we are also living in similar days. And it's interesting to go down the list and to just see and have a little, perhaps a little more concentrated look at some of the things that are going to be happening in the lives. And it's interesting also to realize that when Paul was speaking to Timothy here about these people, he wasn't talking about people in general, but he was talking about those who were supposed to profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about that, and when we realize that in the last days there are going to be many who may say with their lips that they are believers, there are going to be many who perhaps will be attending churches, or be religious in some way, and we'll look at that in a little while, a little bit more, but we're not reading about people in general, but we're reading about people who are supposedly religious people, and even people who say that they are believers. Look at the list again in these first few verses. He talks about the fact that in these last days, there will be, as I said, savage and dangerous times that will increase because men will be lovers of themselves. They will be self-centered, someone has said, or conceited and egotistical. Now, we certainly live in a day where people are lovers of themselves and very self-centered. All you have to do is to drive on the road today and try to do the right thing and find that by trying to do the right thing, you nearly get pushed off the road onto the side, and it's very difficult for you to keep the speed limit today when people are wanting to break the law all of the time. He says also that people will be lovers of money. Now, we certainly know that that is true. Have you ever noticed when, if you're watching the television, the camera zooms in on people who are watching the results in the stock exchange? It's amazing today how we have people who think more about money than anything else in life. It has become their God. And, of course, it reminds me that the Scriptures tell us very clearly that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money and where money becomes a god, and that is so in so many people's lives. And then people will be boasters or braggarts. And you know, the average Aussie is very much like this. I will never forget, as a family, when we went overseas to do ministry in North America, that we were on a ship, and these were in the days when people, if they wanted to travel reasonably priced, they would go by ship rather than by plane. And you know, there were a bunch of Aussies on that ship with others who were international people, and you didn't want to really go near the Aussies. You wanted to run from them because they were just like this. They were boasting and they were braggarts and they were drunkards. And then it says people will be proud. Well, we know that we live in a world where people can be proud, and as mentioned a little earlier about being conceited and egotistical. Proud, arrogant, and haughty people. Blasphemers. Evil speakers. Foul-mouthed people. We noticed in the newspaper just a day or so ago where a Christian person was seeking to bring Channel 7 to court because of the number of times that the term Jesus Christ was being used as a curse word in some of the TV programs. And yet, we live in a day and an age where we are supposed to be politically correct because of all the other groups that we mix with in our multicultural society. And yet the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be used as just blasphemy and cursing. And I wonder whether we don't sometimes realize how that Satan wants people to realize that the name of Jesus Christ is just a curse word. And how sad that is. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Well, we don't have to say much about that, do we? We live in a day and an age where it seems that parents have no, if they have no responsibility, they're not allowed to even take responsibility because we live in that sort of day where children have more rights than what parents have. What a sad day we live in. And yet it is pointing us to the fact that we are living in days that are very, very close to the time when the Lord Jesus will come again. Our brother Phil was talking about the fact that one of these days, very soon, we're going to see him. What a wonderful day it will be when we're rid of this terrible world that we live in that we don't have to be among those who are evil, and we don't have to be bombarded by all of these things happening. Disobedient to parents, rebellious kids. And of course, this is not only just kids. Of course, when the scriptures talk about children being honoring their parents and being obedient to their parents, etc., it's not only talking about little kids, it's talking about all those young people who put their feet under the table and enjoy the benefits of home. And there are many young people who do that, and they're not just kids. Unthankful or ungrateful, have no appreciation of things. And what a typical example of what the world is like today. Unholy, irreverent, nothing is sacred. And how true is that when we think about it? Nothing is sacred. We live for ourselves. As we talk about, started the list there about self-centered people. And when people become unloving and or unholy and unthankful, it's certainly showing that, is it not? And then unloving, hard-hearted and callous without feeling. Unforgiving or irreconcilable. There's no way in the world today that the average person is going to forgive the other person for the wrong that they may have done to them. They're irreconcilable. And then there's false accusers and slanderers, Paul says. And then there are people without self-control, or they're uncontrollable. I have in my mind the pictures of those kids. And I'm not going to say too much because it may be that somebody might get upset. But the thing is, I have in my mind the pictures of kids of 10 and 11 and 12 and into their teens in the block in Redfern throwing petrol bombs, breaking windows, pushing signs down, and doing all of these things against the law. And we live in those sort of days today where people can be without self-control. We hear about parties, just people putting on a party for a son or a daughter or whatever, and suddenly hundreds of young people will come into this party with their alcohol and they will seek to take over the party. We live in these sort of days. And then he talks about people being fierce, and this brings us back to the very beginning of where he talks about the perilous or the fierce and dangerous times. And then people will be despisers of good. Isn't that interesting? Where we see today that there are people who are despisers of good, who are haters of whoever or whatever is good. People, in verse 4, he goes on to talk about traitors and betrayers, those people who are not trustworthy. And then he goes on to talk about headstrong people, people who are reckless and self-willed. And then high-minded, and this of course goes back to those people who are egotistical and self-centered, high-minded and haughty and conceited people. And then he goes on to talk about people who are lovers of pleasure. How did Paul know? How did Paul know that in these days prior to the coming again of the Lord Jesus, that there would be people who were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Well, we must move on. Talks about the fact in verse 5 about people having a form of godliness. I mentioned earlier on about the fact that this passage here is not talking about the average person. It's talking about people who are supposedly religious people, supposedly believers. Having a form of godliness, but they deny the power. We have many people in churches today who have some sort of form of godliness. And it reminds us of what the Lord Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, he said, you're like whited sepulchres on the outside. But he said, inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. What a sad thing. And yet, apparently this is what is going to happen in the last days. And these people are truly hypocrites. And it's interesting also that Paul says, from these people, from people who are seeking to teach error and seeking to bring, to take people away from the truth, from these people turn away. Now, if you did a little study, and I had some time ago did a study in regard to the number of times that we are told to flee from those who teach error, you will be absolutely amazed. And yet we have many within evangelical circles today. And I'm not saying this in the wrong sense, that we shouldn't have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, but we have many in evangelical circles today who will tell us, it doesn't matter what you believe. We can all have fellowship together and we can agree on those things that we agree on, and that we can just put aside those things that maybe we don't agree on that come from the Scriptures. But hey, listen, the Bible doesn't teach that. And even the Lord Jesus said that we are to turn away from those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. We are to turn away from those and flee from those who teach error. And we need to remember this, I do believe. And of course, he says in verse 7 that they are ever learning but never coming to the truth, these people. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about people who are very much like spiritual gypsies, and they're moving around from different group to have this experience here and that experience there. This is what Paul is talking about is going to happen. And we see it today. You know, one of the saddest things as assembly people that we have seen is that some assemblies are now down to just a couple of families. And some assemblies, some people within these assemblies, when the assembly has got to that stage, they have just left, and they have been very conservative in their upbringing and in their teaching, and they have just gone to somewhere where it doesn't matter what you really believe. It's hard to understand, isn't it? You know, as we read about the last days and as we remember some of the teachings that the Lord Jesus gave on the coming again, you know, he warned people that when we see these sort of things happening, when these things begin to happen, he said on one occasion in Luke, he said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. It could be very easy for us to get very depressed about what is going on in our world. And we are not allowed to do that. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be looking up, and we're supposed to be looking beyond what is going on around about us and not allow ourselves to become conformed to the world. Remember how Paul talked about this to the Roman church, how that we're to give our lives and our bodies and our all as a living sacrifice and not be conformed or poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know the perfect will of God. And it's so easy for us today. We live in a day and an age where it's so easy for us to allow ourselves, our hearts and our minds and our lives, to be poured into the world's mold. Can remember the kids going down to the wet sand with their little buckets, and getting the wet sand and filling up the bucket and making it nice and smooth on the top, and then quickly turning it over and pulling the bucket off. And what do we have? A perfect mold of the bucket. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, don't allow the world to pour you into its mold. Don't just believe everything. Don't just suck in everything that is coming out of the idiot box. Don't allow young people, as somebody said even yesterday on the news and on a commentary, they said, don't allow your kids to be educated by Hollywood. Don't allow your kids to listen and to suck in all the garbage that is coming through the songs that so often they listen to. I believe that we as parents, if we are parents and have children, that we need to be making sure that our kids are not getting this garbage, and not only getting the garbage, but believing that this is the way of life. It's like those people who sit and watch the soapies every day, and they think that that's life. And because they sit and they suck in all of this garbage from the soapies, that is how their life becomes. And oh, how sad it is. And we are warned. We are warned about the false teachers and the leaders of false cults here in this passage in 2 Timothy. And we think of things like the Toronto Blessing that has been brought into this country, and where people in evangelical circles have actually believed that these things are the things that are from God. And we listened one day when we were in Tasmania some years ago to a uniting churchman who'd been invited to this assembly to give a report on the Vineyard conference that he had been to in Western Australia. He and his wife, and they had stood back at the back of this conference, and they had seen the things going on that they saw, like people barking like dogs. People laughing hysterically and calling it holy laughter. People rolling around in the aisles and at the front near the platform. And they said, we stood back and we saw God at work. Brothers and sisters, we need to rightly discern the Word of God. We need to realize that the Word of God gives us warnings about the last days, that people are going to be led astray down the garden path, and even the elect, Jesus said, even if the elect could be led astray, that is going to happen. And as we read in Revelation what John wrote about the Laodicean church, oh, friends, brothers and sisters, we are living in desperate days that are very similar to what John wrote about in Revelation chapter 3. And it was an apostate church that he wrote about. And as we look into the West today, we can talk about the blessings of what's going on in some of these third world countries and praise God for that. But oh, when we look at the West, it would even seem, and I've said in recent days what I feel, and that is I feel in so many ways that God has given the West its chance. We've heard the gospel over and over again, and it would seem as though God has given the West its chance, and now the third world countries and other countries like that are having the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus. Well, look at the difference between what Paul talked about is going to be like the lives of people in the last days who are supposedly religious, and look at his own life. And very quickly now, as my time is running out here, look at what he talks about when we read in verses 10 and 11. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." He says on a couple of occasions, follow my example, and so on. He says, you have followed my doctrine and my manner of life. Look what he talks about here. He talks about, and we've been talking about it already, he talks about sound doctrine, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he talks about his manner of life, which is the conduct, and which is consistent with the message. And then he also goes on to talk about purpose. You know, we who are believers are those with a purpose in life. We who are believers have a hope. We just sang that lovely hymn, and it brings a tear to my eye so often when I sing it. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. I have hope that the world knows nothing about. We live in a hopeless world, but we who are believers are people with hope because we know that Jesus has risen from the dead. He's a living Savior, and He's soon coming again, we believe. Faith, he talks about that trust in the Lord. Long-suffering, an attitude towards His persecutors and His critics. Love, selflessly devoted to the Lord and to His fellow men. Perseverance he talks about. And oh, you know, that's something that is lacking in so many of our lives. I have to confess to myself that being able to persevere and to be patient is something, as I said to somebody one day, Patience and I passed by one day and we said hello and I haven't seen Patience since. You know, it's so difficult. And yet patience is one of those, the fruit of the Spirit that should be showing in our lives daily. He talks about perseverance, which is fortitude and endurance. And then he talks about persecutions and afflictions. And you know, I could spend another half an hour talking about that. And he talks about in verse 11 how that the Lord delivered me out of them. And notice, he didn't say that the Lord delivered him from them, but he delivered them out of them. And we are not promised freedom from difficulties, but we're promised that the Lord will be with us through them. But notice this about persecution very quickly as I conclude this morning. In verse 12, he talks about persecution here. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean that we're going to get acceptance and fame and prestige and prosperity, like some would tell us. It can mean rejection and persecution, and we need to count the cost of discipleship. And we need to remind ourselves that it was Emperor Nero who smeared the Christians who were willing to stand for Christ, smeared them with pitch, and crucified them and set them alight to be lights for his garden parties. Friends, we have a heritage to follow and to hold on to. But we have a command to follow Jesus and to endure persecution, because he says that all those who desire to live godly, in verse 12, in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. Well, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, Jesus said. You know, sometimes it's interesting, we try to avoid persecution. And if we don't experience persecution, people probably don't even know that we're Christians. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Unlike many today who try to make the gospel palatable for unbelievers, Jesus made it clear, and following him had its price. Just a little illustration here. A man starting a new job with a group of unbelievers, and he thought they might give him a hard time if they found out that he was a Christian. After his first day at the job, his wife asked him how he got on. "Well, I got along fine. They didn't find out I was a Christian." We need to ask ourselves, I believe, the question, are we being bold for the Lord Jesus? We could think about what persecution is really all about. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And those godly men suffered untold hardships for proclaiming God's message. And that's a noble group to be identified with. He knows our human weaknesses and will supply the need that we have, the necessary grace and peace to get through them. Well, he goes on to finish off the passage by talking about evil men and imposters growing worse. He says, "Continue in the things that you have learned." And in chapter 4, he goes on to talk about the fact that we are, he charges Timothy and those who would hear the word, "I charge you therefore for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching."